We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Afghanistan from returning to being the kind of terrorist haven from which a 9/11 style attack could be launched. And of course, we mustn't forget that the real dangers across the border in nuclear-armed Pakistan, which faces its own horrendous insurgency and which stands a chance of having that insurgency reinforced and strengthened from a lawless Afghanistan. I think those are important factors.
And Manu, I will come to you, but I'm aware that I've got three people on the phone from Kabul, and while their lines are good, I must make the most of that. Let's go through all three of them, and then I'll, of course, come back to you. Kebart, you're live with us from Kabul. I understand you saw some of these attacks take place yesterday. How do you think Afghanistan and NATO should respond now? Do you want the troops to stay?
Thank you. I think such kind of attacks happening in Afghanistan, it was not the first one. People of Afghanistan, citizens of Afghanistan, fearing or scaring for future because of threats on culture, on history, on human rights, on democracy, it shows Taliban want to get credit because of this. But most of Afghanistan people, especially in Kabul, are not agreed on political oppression by meaning of dealing with Taliban.
So, Kebart, what you're saying, let me interrupt you because your line is faint, but I want to hear what you're saying, of course. You're saying that most people in Kabul support human rights, they oppose what the Taliban are trying to achieve. But my question to you is, how do you want the Taliban to be defeated? Should it be the work of Afghan security forces, or do you want the help of NATO?
I'm coming to this. I have the 4 points. One, capacity. We know that Afghanistan security forces are premature, but still the question is how to utilize, how to use existing capacity. And the second one, how to bring pressure on Pakistan to stop exporting of tourism to Afghanistan and other countries. The third one is how to stimulate the governmental leadership of Afghanistan to have the thought and idea of fighting against tourism. When I say tourism, I mean Taliban. And now coming to some points on political operation, I think political operation shouldn't be by meaning of dealing with Taliban.
So you're making, Kebart, again, I'm going to come in because of the line, but let me reiterate the points that you're making. You say that you don't want Afghanistan to be attractive, to use the phrase tourist, but what you mean is militants who are attracted by what the Taliban is fighting for. You also say that the army and the police must increase their capacity, and I don't think anyone taking part in this program has so far disagreed with that. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. And the extra point you made, Kebart, and I'd like to put this to Dominic Medley from NATO, was that there needs to be better leadership. Dominic, are you confident that the leaders, the leadership of the Afghan army and the Afghan police are up to taking the fight to the Taliban?
I don't think there's any doubt. You just need to look at the attack yesterday of how the Afghan security forces reacted. The Minister of the Interior was on the scene. My colleague, the spokesperson for the Ministry of Interior, was on the scene all night. One soldier has been awarded a medal posthumously for actually wrapping himself around another suicide bomber who was trying to get to the airport. The idea that Afghan soldiers stand back and run away and are afraid is a very old and outdated idea and behind the times. There's something about Afghans. They all say in their CVs when they apply for jobs, they want to serve their country. And the police and the army at the moment are really serving and protecting the people of this country. And you can see it in the operation yesterday.
Thank you for responding to Kebart's point. And Kebart, we appreciate you joining us. Let's stay in Kabul and bring in Mohammed, who's also on the phone. Mohammed, do you want the foreign troops to stay or would you like them to go?
In my point of view, it is too early for withdrawal of foreign troops from Afghanistan. But it is the main concern of our people, the main concern of our people is the withdrawal of American or NATO forces from Afghanistan. But the more concernable issue is the speed of this withdrawal. 33,000 until the summer of next year is horrible, and it's very, very dangerous for the future of Afghanistan. Previously, Mr. Dominic mentioned that he believes the ability of Afghan forces. I also believe the ability of Afghan forces, and there is no doubt that Afghan forces can do something against terrorism. But the problem is not just internal forces. The problem is the leadership of this country, because yet we know that Karzai doesn't have a clear definition of friend and enemy. He always called terrorists like Talat's brother. And, this makes very, very confuse our forces.
So, Mohammed, let me come in here because I want to make sure our listeners are hearing you. Two points there. One, you believe the way President Karzai is leading Afghanistan creates confusion because you say he doesn't make clear distinctions between the enemy and between friends. And secondly, you express concern at the speed of the withdrawal of foreign troops. Malu Innocent from the Cato Institute, do you have sympathy with Mohammed that President Obama in particular is pushing this far too fast?
No, I don't. I actually agree with the president's decision. In fact, I wish that he actually expedited the withdrawal. But I would agree with the caller on one point, in the sense that I think we tend to talk in terms of what we want for Afghanistan and not in terms of what's feasible. I think the U.S. and the coalition forces want a popular, legitimate, stable Afghan government that can deliver security and services to their people. Unfortunately, we have a very bizarre sort of system right now where we have a government that's incredibly unpopular, incredibly illegitimate, and extremely weak. And I say that in very just sort of realistic sense. I mean, when we go back to last year with the collapse of the Kabul Central Bank, there is a great number of exclusionary power brokers that are in charge who are sort of, surrounded by Karzai and his very sort of lucrative business arrangements. And I think these are sort of the problems in terms of whether or not we have an Afghan government that can either sort of profit at the expense of peace, which is what we're seeing now, because these talks, either with the Taliban or other insurgents, groups, we don't know if they're sort of delaying tactics because, as we know, the Karzai regime and those he surrounds himself with, they do profit at the status quo. And I don't think they necessarily want conflict, but they also don't want the complete collapse of the state and the withdrawal of Western humanitarian assistance.
Malu, thank you for your response. Mohammed, thank you for getting in touch from Kabul. Aman has tweeted us from Afghanistan to say simply no to the foreign troops exit. Better coordination among the Afghan army and international troops is what's needed to fight the Taliban and the insurgents. I can see that Andrew in Portland in the northwest of the states is joining us. James in Wisconsin, I will get to you shortly. But first of all, let me bring in Gran Howard from Kabul. He works for the Afghanistan Analysts Network. Gran, what's your view? Have these attacks of the past 48 hours changed your view of when the foreign troops should leave?
Thank you very much for coming to me. I'd like to say that we have missed the last 10 years in case of nation building and state building. This is the United States and NATO is announcing today that we will establish air forces for the government of Afghanistan until 2016. Where were you in the last 10 years? Why didn't that already to be ready to leave this country? On the time, whenever you want. If the international community and the nation of Afghanistan had its own state, its own nation, and the good governments, the democratic governments, and a couple of abusers of human rights and those who are in power at the time being, fully corrupt and illegitimately in power, if they were vetted, if they were removed, if they were punished, through support of the international community, then now I'm 100% sure that there was no need for the international community to to accept pressures.
Okay, so Gran, let me come in here, and it's worth adding, and this is nothing personal to do with you, Gran Howard, that the reason I keep coming across some of our guests from Kabul is, of course, not because I'm not interested in hearing what they have to say. The lines are just not fantastic, and I'm aware that those of you listening want to know what these people are saying. Well, there are a couple of points there from Gran Howard. First of all, he was saying just how long do the international forces need, and he is also questioning whether these countries who have an involvement in Afghanistan have some sort of veto over who ends up leading the country. And before I go to Colonel Richard Kemp, Dominic Medley from NATO, first of all, this issue is coming up again and again. I can see a message from Mohammed in Tunisia saying, you've already had 10 years of war against the Taliban. How much longer do you need? That point's also coming from some of our callers in Kabul. What would you say to people who are saying this is just taking too long?
The former commander of the International Security Force here, General David Petraeus, now the new director of the CIA, was very clear on this. It's only really in the last 2 years, particularly with the surge of troops, the 33,000 was mentioned by one of your previous callers, where the right resources, the right unity of effort, the right inputs were put into the job. The training of the Afghan army and the police only really stood up to a high level at the end of 2009. But NATO is confident that with this strategy, which remember is a strategy initiated by President Karzai, it is shared by all the contributing nations to the security force here, 49 of them, including the 28 nations in NATO, the alliance. It is a shared strategy. It's achievable. There are still 3 more years to do this, to get everyone on board, to continue the training. The equipment donations come in. I think a previous caller mentioned that the Afghan Air Force might not even be ready till 2016. It takes a long time to train pilots, to do the logistics, to order the planes, to bring in the equipment. So this is a long-term enduring commitment. And what you will see after 2014, NATO signed what's called the Enduring Partnership, other bilateral agreements are being worked on, is a commitment that reassures Afghanistan and its people that this country will not be abandoned.
Thank you very much, Dominic. And if you're listening, we're live. Dominic Medley is a NATO spokesperson in Kabul, responding to your points, as are our other three panelists today. Gran in Kabul, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Here's a message which perhaps Colonel Richard Kemp could respond to. It's from Ahmad in Pakistan. He's posted on our Facebook page and wants to ask you, don't you think that the withdrawal from Afghanistan will destabilize the entire region and have a disastrous impact on my country next door in Pakistan?
I am concerned about that. I'm probably as much concerned about the effect of a security vacuum in Afghanistan on Pakistan and on the insurgency, the terrible insurgency that they suffer there, as I am about the security situation in Afghanistan itself. And I don't think there's any doubt we will be withdrawing from Afghanistan, and it will be around the time frame that that has been already announced. I think the important thing is that we do everything we can to equip the Afghan government to be able to contain the insurgency in Afghanistan from within its own resources. And also, I believe it's essential that we retain also, the Americans in particular, retain the capability to strike at